There's a significant move in financial markets keyed to the Georgia Senate runoff results. I'm David Brancaccio. Support by voters for Democrats in Georgia is suggesting to market participants there could be more economic stimulus to pull the U.S. out of its COVID recession. The benchmark interest rate, the yield on the government's 10-year note, has now crossed above 1% for the first time since March. Let's bring in Karen Petru, the co-founder and managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics in Washington.
The fundamental lesson the market is taking, and I hope for a change the market is right, is that these close races signal not the fractious, ferocious, and just nasty Congress that conventional wisdom seems to expect, but actually a functioning American government where the dominant force is the more moderate middle, because they're going to be the margin on every vote in the Senate. It's not the left, it's not the right, it's going to be the middle.
If you're right, and the scenario is moderates are emboldened by whatever comes out of Georgia here, do you think that suggests that we'll have finally more spending on infrastructure?
I do. There's also in the moderate middle a good deal of concern about runaway deficits. And they're going to be looking for long-term spending, like infrastructure, for sustained economic growth, not for more COVID one-off checks, these so-called sugar highs.
Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the Dow future at the moment is up 67 points, 0.2%. The NASDAQ future is down 2%. In part, a bet that strength by Democrats in Georgia means more antitrust scrutiny for big tech firms. Now to the latest forecast for the world economy. Let's go to the source, David Malpass, president of the World Bank. Welcome back.
Thanks, David. Good to be on.
What's the latest calculation you have there? A nice, vigorous, V-shaped recovery for the world finally here in 2021?
Boy, I wish. But our outlook right now is that it's more of a subdued recovery. You know, it's a comeback from a bad year in 2020, but not strong enough for my taste. One key variable is vaccines. If they can be deployed really fast, including to the developing world, that would improve it and maybe turn us into a V.
Now, in the developed world, there's been an extraordinary amount of borrowing to deal with the emergency that's upon us. But also there's borrowing in emerging markets and the poorest countries as well. A lot of debt moving forward can be a problem.
It can be a problem. And there's also already this massive inequality in that the advanced economies have been able to buy assets of higher income people, of corporate bonds, for example, municipal bonds. But for the developing world, that hasn't really been possible. What they are doing is running bigger deficits and adding to debt. But I think the bigger problem was they already had a lot of debt prior to the pandemic. So what we're working on is trying to reduce that debt substantially in 2021.
Well, at least interest rates are low. Can't that help the developing world as they try to borrow?
It does provide some opportunity for them, but the question is how much investment do they actually get from the savers in the advanced economies? And one of the problems is they're mostly buying their own assets. They buy mortgage-backed securities or they buy government bonds. And to make matters a little bit worse, the advanced economies are financing their purchases with short-term financing. For example, treasury bills are one source of financing for the U.S. government, and the Federal Reserve borrows from banks heavily. And that takes money away from what could be invested into the developing world. So the reality is we're not seeing nearly enough investment in the developing world, even though interest rates are low in the advanced economies.
David Malpass, president of the World Bank. Always good to talk to you.
Good to talk with you, David.
The World Bank is expecting 4% growth worldwide for this year, but only 1.6% if vaccine distribution keeps running into trouble. The pandemic meant canceled weddings last year. Now, a study of five states out of Bowling Green State University suggests there's also been a big drop in divorces, down 36% in, for instance, New Hampshire. But it may not be because love springs eternal. Here's Marketplace's Samantha Fields.
The thing about divorce is it's expensive.
If you have complex issues or, you know, custody stuff, you probably need an attorney.
Michelle O'Neill is a divorce lawyer in Dallas, Texas.
There ends up being a duplication of housing. So you have to create the duplicate furniture. And then you have the electric bill, all the costs of a normal house.
And right now, a lot of people don't have that money to spend. That is likely a big reason the divorce rate has dropped more than 20% during the pandemic in four of the five states the study looked at. Krista Payne is one of the researchers, and she says the same thing happened during the Great Recession.
And much of that was found to be caused by economic resources and just loss of jobs and less resources to get divorced.
The uncertainty of the last year and the temporary closures of offices and courts likely also played a role.
And the other thing about divorce is divorce takes time.
Couples who might not be getting along now because of the pandemic, Payne says, may not officially get divorced for a while. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Once again, tied to the vote in Georgia, the benchmark 10-year interest rate moved above 1% for the first time since March. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report, from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.